What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we have been discussing lies my therapist told me. That's the name of this series. We're on part three of this series, and it comes from my forthcoming book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. I'm sure some of you are feeling a saturation level. You've heard about it from Todd. You've heard about it from me. You've by now seen webinars that I've done with ACBC. You've seen webinars that are coming up through Fortis. And this is a topic that really is going to create some conversation. So in our series, I've said there's three lies that I want to start by addressing. The first one is that the secular therapeutic is objective medicine, that it is practicing objective, empirical, verifiable medicine. That's a lie. And if you missed that episode, go back and check it out. Because it's not practicing objective medicine. It's not verifiable. It's more like the game of hot and cold. Do you remember that game? Like you're playing in the pool with your cousins. Warmer, warmer, scalding hot, scalding hot. Like that's really what mental health diagnoses are like at this point. So that's the first lie. The second lie is that the mind needs to be healthy. And that should be that the mind needs merely only health or merely health. When you read the way the Bible talks about your mind apart from Christ, I said this in the last episode, it ain't purdy, man. That is just not the way the Bible describes your mind, like it needs some type of health, like a wax job. The reality is that your mind needs to be rehabilitated and made new, transformed. So when you see renewed and transformed, those are the ways the Bible describes what your mind needs, not health. Third lie today, third and final. What about this lie? But I'm helped by secular therapy. And you can't see me right now, but I'm doing air quotes outside of helped, but I'm helped by secular therapy. What about that? It must be helpful, right? Because I'm helped in some way. So this is the question that I try to answer in the book. Like what's going on by me being helped? And if you're looking for a place to find the book, it's at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Consider the subtitle, Why Christians Should Seek More Than Symptom Relief. Think about that for a second. What is it that you're being quote unquote helped with by secular therapy? What is it that's happening in that moment? In today's episode, I want to help you understand what's going on and how to think about that through the lens of Scripture. If you do sense that a level of relief is coming, then how should you think about that? Many people will object to the ideas that secular therapy isn't helpful at all because the thought is, well, it's at least relieving symptoms and it's not really changing me, but things aren't as bad as they were. I'm sleeping more, eating more, I'm getting back to life as I knew it. So I would say, okay, all right, well, let's pause and describe who people are for a second, and that will help us answer the question, what is the secular therapeutic really helping? So I want to read to you from Proverbs 4, biblical counseling, heart, verse, like 101. This is the fundamentals of biblical counseling. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it, speaking of the heart, flow the issues of life. If you've stuck around Transformed at all, or maybe you have some introductory training in biblical counseling, we know that your immaterial heart is the center of what you do. Think of like a control center. It's that control center, that hub. Your immaterial heart is where your thoughts come from. That's Genesis 6:5. It's where your love comes from. So you love the Lord with all your heart. Matthew 22. The reality is that it's the reason why you do what you do. Your heart and your outer man, your outer person, your body, they're not disconnected as if you were a dualistic individual, you know, like your inner person versus your outer person. But your inner person is said to be the hub of why you do what you do. So why do you guard it? Because of its importance. Out of the heart come the issues of life. So I don't really guard my heart so that you don't taint it. And you may be discerning and you may be guarded with your emotions and relationships. Think of things like that. But the reality is that I'm not guarding my heart so you don't hurt me in this context. I'm guarding my heart because of how central it is in everything that I do. Out of it flow the issues of life, the overflow. If you have a Bible and you have an opportunity to grab it, I would encourage you to turn over to the Matthew 12 passage where that overflow, that same idea Jesus uses, and he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Some of you are younger in your 20s and you remember your parents telling you this growing up. "Now, Sarah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, baby." Did you guys like that? I don't know what part of the country that voice was from. But you've heard this before. You know your words are coming from your immaterial heart. They're the overflow, Proverbs 4:23. The springs of life include your words. So what you say is coming from your heart. And your mind, your immaterial mind, although a different term is used, remember, in the book, I show you, I think it's easy to prove, that the mind and the heart can't be differentiated. That's why even in the Old Testament, the term lev is translated as mind and heart, but mostly heart. Whereas when we get to the New Testament, we do have greater specificity. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You are living out what is going on in your inner person. That's not a surprise to you, hopefully. Hopefully, that's just a reminder that you live out what's going on in your heart, in your mind, your soul. And those different terms, spirit would be another one. Those different terms are representative of you, your inner person. So when you're thinking of your inner person, why do you do what you do? Because of what's going on in your heart. So let's connect a couple of dots to secular therapy. So when I talk about secular therapy, I'm not talking about a Christian counselor. I'm obviously not talking about a biblical counselor. You can't be an unsaved biblical counselor. That's just a juxtaposition there. I'm talking about a secular therapist, secular psychologist, secular counselor, secular psychiatrist. All of those are the foot soldiers in the war for America's mental health. What do you gain by going to someone that has an unregenerate heart and they're trying to help you with your heart? That's the real question. What do I gain by going to a marriage and family therapist who doesn't believe in the heart? They don't believe in the mind. And as is easy to demonstrate, the mind and the brain have been confused by the secular therapeutic. So the mind is now said to be the brain and treated with medicine, medicalizing the mind. What do I gain by going to an unbeliever that doesn't even believe in the soul or has a clear understanding of the mind? What are you really going to gain from that therapist? I mean, just what you're going to gain is very basic, common sense, downstream methods of care. Very basic, common sense, downstream methods of care. Guys, just Google, at some point you should just Google, what is mental health self-care? Just, it's funny. When I was up in Spokane recently, we were laughing at the suggestions that were made. Yoga, drink cucumber water, try to sleep more, work on your nutrition. Those are just common sense, basic, fundamental issues. But the reality is that an unbelieving therapist is not going to help you with the root of the issue. The unbelieving therapist is going to treat the symptom, not the root. So, analogy for you, and this is an analogy that I give in the book. Inevitably you have had dental pain, whether it was for a fleeting moment or for a continued period of time. You've had dental pain in your life. About 3 or 4 years ago, I got a headache, like a migraine, and my migraine wasn't going away. Think of like just the excruciating headaches. It was connected to dental pain. In fact, I knew I had some dental work that needed to be done, but had just really minimized how much it needed to be done. So I wasn't paying attention, didn't care. Thought, yeah, I'll take care of it in time. And then I got this headache. I go to the dentist and they say, yeah, of course, your teeth, you have a cavity, and that pain that you're sensing is coming from dental infection, cavity, whatever's going on in your tooth back there, man. So they give me painkillers, Tylenol. But is Tylenol treating the root of the issue? Let's just say that I only took Tylenol. Thank you, doctor. All right. Well, you've really helped me, so I'm going to be on my way now. Let's just say that I only took the Tylenol. Am I treating the root of the issue? Of course not. Like, of course you're thinking like, yeah, like, Dr. Gifford, you could take Tylenol, more power to you, but you still need to go get your cavity fixed. You still need to go through whatever surgery they're going to ask you to do. And unfortunately, it was a root canal. Oh, makes me cry thinking about it. You need to go fix the root issue. So what is the unbelieving secular therapist like doing? Taking Tylenol. So your objection is that, hey, I'm helped by secular therapy. And my response is, well, you're not technically helped at the root level. Your symptoms are managed, treated, and probably not even eradicated, but you're helped at the Tylenol level, not at why you actually have the pain in the first place. So we got to do this. Let me take a short break. When we come back, I'll pick up with this concept of the lies that our therapists are telling us. We'll be back.
And we will be back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford in just a moment. Hey, if you're tracking with this so far, that analogy, you're going to feel that deep in your bones. Secular therapy is like Tylenol for a root canal. I mean, you might feel better for a little bit, but nothing's really changed. Dr. Gifford's helping us see why that matters. That's why I want to point you to a resource that gets straight to the root. Heart and Habits by Dr. Gifford. He's the one that wrote that book, and it doesn't just give you better habits. What it does is it teaches you how real change happens from the inside out. You're going to learn how to identify what's driving your behaviors, how to reshape them by the truth of God's word, and how the Spirit actually empowers that work. If you've ever felt stuck, like the kind of stuck where no amount of journaling and goal setting and mental health breaks will really move the needle, this is a book that will help you reframe your problem biblically. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering deeper. Heart and Habits by Dr. Greg Gifford, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And look, if you're serious about understanding the human heart and you want to be trained to counsel others biblically, let me encourage you to check out the Masters University. TMU has an outstanding biblical counseling program where Dr. Gifford himself is one of the instructors. It's rooted in scripture, not psychology. You're not just going to learn theory. You're going to be discipled to serve the church with clarity and conviction. TMU stands unapologetically on the sufficiency of scripture. So whether you're planning to pursue full-time ministry, or maybe you just want to be equipped in your local church, you're going to be trained to think biblically about people and problems. Head to masters.edu/transformed right now to learn more. And don't forget the Fortis Plus app. It's packed full of fresh content every single day. I'm talking all kinds of audio and video content, all designed to help you grow in biblical wisdom. 7 new posts are added every single day. Always free. You're not going to have to scroll aimlessly to fill your mind with truth. Fortis Plus. You can download it from wherever you download apps or go to fortisplus.org. Finally, if Transformed has been helpful for you, would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Look, 83% of every dollar that you give goes directly to the work of ministry. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now to start getting answers to all of the questions that could be popping up in your mind about what it's going to look like in your life to join us. You've got questions. We've got answers. fortisinstitute.org is the place to find them. Well, we're not done yet. We're going to get back to Dr. Gifford for the second half of this episode. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Jimmy, thank you, sir. Thanks for your kind words and resources. We love you. All right. When I look at the lies that our therapists are teaching as if they were truth, number one, secular therapy is objective medicine. Number two, the mind needs to be only healthy or merely healthy. And the number three today, but I'm helped by secular therapy. I've heard this quite regularly, but secular therapy can do some good. So what good is happening? Well, we know you're not treating the inner person. Remember, we've rehearsed what we already know, that we're living out the inner person, our heart, Proverbs 4:23, Matthew 12:34. Is the epicenter of why we do what we do. So when you're going to an unbeliever to get help with your inner person, that unbeliever is not going to be able to help you at the level of your heart. That's something that God, through his word and his spirit alone, can do. God alone is going to be able to bring about the renewal of the mind, the transformation of the mind and heart. So what are we doing? We are Tylenoling ourselves, baby. Give me the painkiller. Is there a place for Tylenol? You're going to wonder. Yeah, I'll get to this more here in a second. Is it better to have Tylenol or no Tylenol? Yeah, definitely we want Tylenol if that's our only options. But Tylenol is not really treating the problem. Tylenol might even make things worse if I don't deal with the problem. So the Bible alone is going to get to the root, which is the why of people and their problems. Apart from God's word, you can't understand people biblically. Well, that might seem redundant. Apart from God's word, you can't understand people accurately. Aha! You don't understand people if you don't understand them the way they were made. God has made us, Psalm 100, verse 3, and we are his. You don't know people if you don't know them according to the Bible. But continue that train of thought. You don't really understand the problem if you don't understand the problem the way God describes it. If I now medicalize the problems of man and I make it an arbitrary illness, I'm changing the very nature of the problem and I'm going to give you medication and treatment instead of call you to repentance or to place your hope in Christ or to reorient the eyes of your faith back to the Lord. So as the problem goes, so goes the treatment. You cannot understand those apart from God's word. Seriously, you can't. So let me see if I can give you a couple of examples of these. Anxiety, ADHD, depression, not Dr. Gifford's words, like these are the number one quote unquote mental illnesses of our time. So think about the way that anxiety is treated by the secular therapeutic. The secular therapeutic is going to help prescribe as needed PRN anti-anxieties so that whenever you get tempted, you know, you can feel yourself getting flustered or you're going to a situation that you know is going to be tense, you can take your Xanax or you can take your anti-anxiety. So what happens then is secular therapy is treating anxiety like it is a body issue. Here's your pill. Here are your psychotropics. Okay, great. That will help you manage your anxiety. It's not eradicating it. It's managing it. Or you need to take better care of yourself. You need to eat better, exercise, cucumber water, do some yoga, try to sleep a little bit more, self-care. The reality is that that is all you're going to get from secular therapy, but you're not actually told why are you anxious in the first place. Have you considered that? The Bible alone can provide you the robust definition of what anxiety is, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, why you're anxious and what to do about it. Anxiety is coming from a desire to control what is not yours to control. Just fundamentally, what is anxiety or worry? It's us having an over-concern for something that is not ours to control. That's fundamentally, that is the why. So in Matthew 6, 25 and following, Jesus says as a command, do not be anxious. And why not? Because God's good. He provides. He's big. He knows. We recognize that God is in control, so we're not anxious. Secular therapeutic is passing out meds for a faith issue. Of course, you're anxious. You're trying to do things that God alone should be doing. Right? Like, how could you not be anxious? How could I not be anxious? And I'm a man who can be prone towards anxiety as well. How could we not be anxious when we're trying to do what God alone can do? So how does the Bible get to the why? Because secular therapy is going to say, here are some meds to manage the symptoms of anxiety, but not eradicating it. Maybe some self-care, maybe some cognitive behavioral therapy, but none of those can describe why you're anxious in the first place. The Bible alone can do that, and the Bible has better answers. Let's consider another example, and I think this one is very pertinent, especially for those of you that are parents. Why are you or your child hyperactive? It seems like it's hard to focus. You are a bit fidgety. That is what ADHD is now considered, that you're hyperactive, you're impulsive to a certain degree, you're fidgety. Where does that come from? You see, if you go to secular therapy for help with hyperactivity, the answer is almost exclusively meds. some type of either stimulant or suppress, like let's slow the organ of your brain down. Let's slow you down so you just feel like you're tired. And that's how we're going to make you less fidgety, less busy. Secular therapy offers almost no training in terms of disciplining yourself, persevering through difficult tasks. So what's the answer? Medication. That's why it gets me so fired up. And it's probably as a father of boys too, this is partly the life that I live with teenage sons, that your first response is just to medicate and give a label, but not actually provide life skills and training to help. So this is the reality. The Bible alone can help you identify why you might be hyperactive. Have you ever thought about this through the Romans 12 lens, verse 3 and following, that you have a type of giftedness, and that giftedness thrives in some environments, and that giftedness doesn't thrive in other environments? I've said this in many ways and at many conferences and on Transformed episodes, that if you are diagnosed with ADHD, you're probably not going to love being a librarian. Quiet environment, stacking books all day. Like you're not going to enjoy that. You want to be out. You want to be active. You want to be busy. You want to be doing something. Don't put you in a cubicle. Well, that's not a sin for you to be active, just to be clear. That's not even something that has to be fixed. It's a gifting that you're trying to identify. So you can say, hey, there are environments that are not my favorite, like school, but I need to be able to thrive no matter where the Lord puts me and discipline myself no matter where the Lord puts me. So if the Lord puts me in school, then I want to do my best to be faithful while I'm in school. Or if the Lord puts me in an accounting or in a librarian position, then I'm going to be faithful while I'm there. I think there's also a level of laziness that we're having to see. I find many times that when a young boy is diagnosed with ADHD, it's not because he lacks the capacity, it's because he lacks the fortitude, the discipline. Plop him in front of his movie that he loves, plop him in front of a video game or his hobby, and then all of a sudden he can focus really well. So there is a discipline or an error towards laziness. So the Bible frames ADHD so much more robustly than secular therapeutic. You could do this with each mental quote-unquote illness, depression, thinking through bipolar, like personality disorders. Take each of those, PTSD, and pick at them according to the scripture and say, what does the scripture say? So what is secular therapy helping you with? Not the root cause. The Bible alone can help you with the root cause. What's secular therapy helping you with? Symptom relief, that's all. So the question is it better to have symptom relief, Tylenol, or no Tylenol? That's the question. And the answer is, well, is it helpful to take Tylenol whenever you're not really treating the root of the problem? You would immediately say, no, you need to have dental surgery. You need to have your cavity filled. Like, you need to treat that issue. Otherwise, it's just masking it and making it worse. Exactly. Guys, exactly. So are you really being helped by symptom relief? Well, no, not if you're not dealing with the root of the issue. Even if you're taking anxiety meds and they're helping the symptoms of anxiety, if you don't eradicate anxiety according to the word of God, that medication isn't really helping you. So you shouldn't hear me right now and say, okay, Dr. Gifford says no meds, dumping them out. Whoosh, bye-bye. That sounds like an awful way to come off of meds. It sounds like a great way to hurt yourself. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that symptom relief doesn't mean that you're actually being helped. That's a lie. You cannot accept that lie. The Bible is not only sufficient, like adequate, to give us answers, but the Bible gives us superior answers. In your light, we see light, the psalmist says. So you have everything that you need in the Bible, not in just like a, well, fine, peanut butter and jelly will do, but you have everything that you need and you have superior answers. So you should be skeptical about the secular therapeutic. And then you should look to the Bible as not just an answer, but superior answers. We have to be done with the series. I hope you'll check out the book. I just finished the audiobook last week as well, which was quite the chore. So you can check out both the audio and the book. It will be out in May, and its pre-order dates are now. So please take a second, order that, and share it with others who would be helped by it. So let me pray for you, and let me pray for all of us as we try to work through just this secular therapeutic world. Lord, many of us are entangled in mental illness labels and disorders. We have thought about ourselves and our own identity since we were young, according to mental illness terminology. Lord, I pray you would set us free. Help us to see ourselves as in Christ or outside of Christ. Help us to see ourselves as your children, not according to therapeutic terminology. Lord, use this book to free people, to help them have greater ability and clarity to follow you. And may that bring joy and peace to their life and glory to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.